We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And a pleasant good evening, or no, good evening, good afternoon to everyone out there in Irish Breakdown land. I am Vince D'Addario, and I am the football analyst here at IrishBreakdown.com. That guy right there is Brian Driscoll. He is the publisher at IrishBreakdown.com. And, you know, we had a little draft today, Brian. It was kind of fun, to be honest with you. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday, and how it adds a little bit of excitement to the blue gold game. I think it gives a little ownership to the kids, and they talked about that, you know, in their post game little talk there, when Cam Hart and Houston Griffith, they're kind of the captains of the team, they got a chance to talk to the media. Adds a little ownership, so it's kind of fun. But we also got a bit of unexpected news, and the headliner, who is not going to be participating in the game, is of course quarterback Tyler Buchner. So takes a little air out of the sails of this game, just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it does. Look, I mean, a lot of the talk of the spring is the quarterback battle, right? And who's going to be the quarterback? And not that the blue gold game is going to have any say of that, but that's kind of, I mean, we've gotten so little access to the team this spring. And fans have gotten so little access, and in fact, less than us, because at least, you know, as the media has been able to see parts of several practices, they've only seen the 3 minutes of video that we've been able to show from that.
Right.
And then like a little scrimmage thing that was like 30 seconds long and showed like four plays. You couldn't even really see what was happening. You didn't know who was throwing most of the passes. So it's been super unfortunate that Notre Dame made the decision to just cut fans out of the first spring for Marcus Freeman's tenure, but whatever. They don't care what we think anyway. So it is unfortunate. And so this was our chance to kind of get to see Tyler Buchner in action. And now we're not going to. Big picture, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's right. Unfortunate because I think all reps are good for him at this point in time.
Right.
The good news is it was not a football related injury, and it was not a major injury. It was a sprained ankle because he stepped on a step wrong.
And if this was a week ago, he'd probably be playing in the game. You know what I mean? It's just it happened a day ago.
You saw him, Vince. I mean, you know, he had a brace on his ankle. I mean, he was limping around. I mean, you've seen kids with freshly sprained ankles. How did you think he was?
Oh, he was
moving around.
Even though he had a brace on, he was limping really good. I mean, it was he was not walking very well. So there is no chance, even if he ends up being the backup quarterback. Okay, but there is no chance I'm letting him play in the game on Saturday.
Oh, that's not what I was referring to. Yeah. I just was curious as the severity. I mean, it's a spring game. You'd be stupid to tape him up and let him play. Moving around, that kind of thing.
It's 8 a.m. the night following, right? Anybody knows that when you injure yourself in any way, shape, or form, especially if it's in the evening, then you go to bed and you get up, it hurts in the morning. Like, it is stiff and it hurts. And it was 8 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? And they just came off of a workout. Obviously, he probably did not participate in that morning workout. But I'm sure it was sore, and I'm sure – and it showed. I mean, we saw him walking away from – or walking in and then walking out, and he had a noticeable limp, and he was feeling it. Now, he was in great spirits, joking around with the guys and stuff like that. But, yeah, he was feeling it today. There's no question about it. The first day is always the worst. in my opinion and in my experience when it comes to sprained ankles and, you know, boo-boos like that. And I would classify this as a boo-boo, you know, he sprained right. his ankle going down the stairs, you know. He was clearly in pain, even with the brace on.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
My wife likes to think of herself as a coffee expert. So when we decided to give Trade Coffees a try, she was excited to see what they had to offer. And we were not disappointed. After filling out a short quiz that matches you with just the right coffee, we received the Holmes blend from Sparrow's Coffee in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The Nostalgia Series blend that she received from Sparrow's Coffee made an immediate impression as soon as she opened the box. And once she brewed the Holmes blend the next morning, she was able to enjoy a rich, smooth cup of coffee with a very robust flavor. My wife is quite picky about her coffees, but you can be sure that she'll once again be buying from Sparrow's Coffee, and we'll be going back to Trade Coffee for another shot at getting a tasty blend from a regional company. You have to give Trade's Coffee a try. Trade's Coffee team actually tastes thousands of coffees to keep 450 different kinds live and ready to ship every day. There's no one perfect coffee, but there is a perfect coffee for you, and Trade's human-powered algorithm will find it. Trade is so confident they'll match you right the first time that if they don't, they'll take your feedback and an actual coffee expert will work with you to send a brand new bag for free. What we learned is that Trade Coffee send you freshly roasted beans from 60 of the country's best craft roasters. Small businesses who pay farmers fair prices to substantially source the greatest beans from around the world. Trade Coffee's experts personally taste over 450 roasts, so they know exactly what to recommend for you. Just answer a couple of questions and you get your own personalized variety of coffees delivered fresh to you as soon as you like. No gimmicks. Trade delivers a fresh bag of roasted coffee as whole beans or ground for however you brew it at home. And they guarantee you'll love your first order or they'll replace it for free. Trade has delivered over 5 million bags of fresh coffee. And right now, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order plus shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/Irish. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/Irish and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/Irish for $30 off.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part, Vince, is, you know, again, you want to see him play, right?
Absolutely.
That's the bummer. You want to see him play. You want to see him get a chance to go out and compete. And, you know, just get in front of a crowd and all that. The reason, at the end of the day, the reason I'm not too worried about it, as I mentioned before, is it's a spring game. I mean, we just got done talking yesterday about guys, spring games don't really matter. So, I mean, that part of it is, you know, it is what it is. But, it, you know, like I said, I like the reps. I think the reps are always important. I think that part of it is good. But I would much rather, if it is an injury, because, you know, sometimes those injuries can linger and, you know, last a couple weeks. And,
sure,
you know, if there's, you know, getting injured is never a good thing. But if you're going to get an injury, the timing wasn't bad because he's just going to miss like a final practice, walkthrough practice in the game.
Yeah.
You know, and he got all the important reps leading up to this point. Absolutely. Is kind of the important part of what I'm saying. And it was interesting because there was like rumors last night that some student on another site said that he was walking around in crutches and all that. And I reached out to a bunch of people like, he was at practice today. You know, he was at the last practice and he was working out this morning. So, it was strange, right? And so that's why we didn't comment on it because it was like, well, okay, everybody around the team doesn't know what's going on. So
I buy the whole it wasn't football related.
Right.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. But
can I, you know, can I address some of the people in the chat? I don't buy it. He doesn't want to show his hand and blah, blah, blah.
No. He's shown his, I mean, that's like, come on, guys.
First of all, give me a break on that. They're not trying to hide Tyler Buchner from anybody. Okay. Number one. Number two, and people that are saying, well, he needs game experience. This isn't game experience. This is a practice. And he's had 13 or 14 of those leading up to Saturday. So,
right.
Look, if he was having an actual game on Saturday, if there was an actual game being played,
I don't understand why some people find this hard to believe. What do you think it was, everybody? Like, can we just calm down?
Yes.
Right? Like, let me explain something to you about Notre Dame, okay? If it was, let's just say, because I think there's maybe some, it's nefarious, maybe he was doing something he shouldn't have done, blah, 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 blah. They wouldn't have given you a false excuse. They would have just said, hey, he sprained his ankle in a non-football related, and they wouldn't address specifics.
Right.
The fact that they gave a specific, especially Marcus Freeman, who I kind of find is one of the least BSing people I've ever met, he's not going to go out there and lie right to your face about this. It's just not, right?
Exactly.
And Brian Kelly wouldn't have lied from the standpoint of he would have made up a phony excuse. As much as I dislike Brian Kelly, he wouldn't. He just said, look, kid got injured, away from the team, and unfortunately, I'm going to be able to play. And that's what he would have said. So can we chill out with the conspiracy theories and it was this or not? It's like, just look, the kid freaking, we've all done it. I did it last week, walking up my freaking step, right?
Right, exactly.
I mean, you know.
And it's tender the next morning. And And
so let's not do that. Let's be better than that, right? And if we hear intel that it's something in, we'll tell you.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. But, you know, from everything that we have heard, it's exactly what they said it is. And I don't understand why we have, I mean, I guess I understand, you know, you look at the, you know, TV and you watch the news, everything comes back and it's not exactly what they said it was going to be. But in this case, let's just relax.
It is what it is.
You know, it is what it is.
And I firmly believe that if there was an actual game on Saturday, he would play in it.
Who knows? I mean, you know,
but
the video you sent me of limping around, maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't. I don't know. I wouldn't be okay. I wouldn't be happy about it. I'd still start Drew Pine if this was a real game, because if Tyler Buchner's limping around like that, I'm sorry. Tyler Buchner at 60% is not better than Drew Pine at 100.
No, that's fair.
you know what I mean? So, and then you're not going to play him anyway, because if Drew's starting, then I'm not bringing Tyler off the bench to sit back and throw.
Right.
You'd only bring him in to play him. So let's just here's the other one that somebody just put. He's fragile. Stop. I don't understand. Like, where do all these bad takes come from people? Right? Like, he had one injury, real injury in his career, tore his ACL, right?
Right.
Not fragile. He didn't play his senior year because the state canceled football. It's not his fault, right? His only injury he had last year was a pulled hamstring, right? Like, can we just kind of chill out with some of the I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know what side of the bed everybody woke up on this morning, but you know, let's just stop. Let's stop with some of this.
Hilarious.
He sprained his ankle walking on the steps. He's not fragile. There is not some conspiracy theory. He didn't sprain it hopping over a fence, you know, running away from the bank that him and some of his teammates just robbed. Right. Like, let's chill out. Like,
that's now the headline. Thanks, Brian.
Exactly. Driscoll said that some moron on Twitter, Driscoll said that Tyler Buchner robbed the bank.
Yeah.
People are stupid, especially on Twitter. But he sprained his ankle walking down steps, something I'm pretty sure everybody in this chat has done, unless you just don't walk.
Right. Ever. Right.
Or you walk around with ankle braces when you're just doing normal people things.
Is it disappointing that he's not going to play? Absolutely.
Now, this is the best response. This is the best response. This is funny. BK doing dang voodoo. Now, that's well done. That's well done. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about the blue gold draft, Vince. First of all, just kind of walk every, because not everybody could see it. Just kind of walk everybody through. I thought this was a pretty cool idea that I don't think they'll ever do again, because I'm already seeing it on the board. Why was this guy drafted higher than this guy? So that must mean that, you know, and then that's just kind of how it goes. It's like, okay, you guys kind of ruining a good thing.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
hopefully they don't pay attention to that kind of stuff, because I thought that this whole thing was an awesome idea.
So walk us through kind of how that went and what it was like, and just the setup. I thought it was a pretty cool deal.
They made it like an actual draft. Okay. So it was in the practice facility. It was set up very similarly to when Marcus Freeman was announced as the head coach. The stage wasn't quite as big, obviously, but they had the stage in the same place. They had chairs out front where all the players were sitting. And then on either side of the stage, they had the selection committee. And the selection committee was made up. They had already prearranged which coaches were going to be on blue and which coaches were going to be on gold. And then the seniors, the guys who were in their last year, they were the selection committee. And they were sitting around a table and they would hand a card to someone. And then the card would go to the commissioner, which is Jerome Bettis. And Jerome Bettis would then announce, you know, who that was. Unfortunately for Jerome, nobody gave him a pronunciation guide. And so he
what's funny is he got Tui Alamaka right. He was getting like the most simple names wrong.
I think after he butchered a few at the beginning, he was getting whispered to by Marcus Freeman.
But he got Tui Alamaka right.
I know, but that was later on. That was later on.
But he got another one wrong after
that.
Oh,
okay. Fair enough. It was like, really funny.
You were messing up. Like,
it was really funny.
Christophic. I mean, you're messing up all these like normal names, and it's like
it was funny.
Then he goes and he's like, "Junior Tui Alamaka," because I was thinking to myself, I can't wait till he gets to like Marist to Junior Tui Alamaka, and then he nails it.
Yeah, you know he nailed Marist. Like, yeah,
well done.
But so what they would do is that they did a coin flip. And then whoever won the coin flip got to choose the position group and the first pick. And you would go all the way through the position group. So starters basically down all the way through the depth chart down to the walk-ons that were available. And then they did, you know, position group by position group. And the first thing that they did, which was kind of funny, is they brought up Rob Hunt. He's the head athletic trainer for football. And he went through the injury list. And he went through who's out, who is probable, and who's questionable. And he rattled off those names so fast. I mean, it was like a speed round. And I'm trying to type them all as fast as I can. And and Brian caught me. I missed one of them. So that was up front. And so that's why, by the way, that Tyson Ford and Chris Tyree, for example, kind of slipped down the draft of their position group because they were both listed as questionable.
Who was the other one? You Tyree and who?
Tyson Ford.
Okay.
He was picked, I think, like ninth
last
seventh,
he was the last of
yeah
the,
he was
of the
he was down there he was down there so that's why they were picked I think that's why they were picked lower because they just don't know about their availability. But I thought it was cool. They even had the do 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 do, you know.
Yeah, Jerome asked for that. He was like he wanted yeah. The
I thought that was funny.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
But you know, they like I said, they had it set up and it was a big thing. Each guy would come up when his name was called. They would take their picture with Jerome and their jersey. I mean, it was a whole deal, and they even had the selection cards, for example, right? The ones that were for the blue team were blue on the back. The ones that were for the gold team were gold on the back, and they had the logo for the blue gold game. I mean, they actually thought about this and prepared for it and made it a thing. And I appreciated it. And there was some trash talking going on as soon as
it's fun for the kids, right? Exactly. This, I mean, they broadcasted it for fans, but that was something that was for the kids.
And I
thought it was pretty cool.
Like when Jaden Mickey got drafted to the gold team, he was talking trash all the way over to the committee for the blue team.
I think that kid talks trash in his sleep. I think his roommate's probably like horrified. His roommate's getting like therapy because he's like, this kid says the craziest things in his sleep. He just talks and just like talks about my mother in his sleep. It's really scary.
I'm telling you, I was impressed by the presentation. And then just overall, the idea of it, I really enjoy because these kids have ownership to it. It's going to actually be a football game. We don't have to like have a sliding scale next to us to figure out the scoring. Like, it's a football game and these kids are going to compete and it's going to be great. And, you know, Tyler Butler not being there, it's a bit disappointing, but at the same time, we're going to see a heck of a lot of Drew Pine. And I like watching Drew Pine play football. Sure. So it is what it is. Right. So, but it was
good. What we've always said is like, look, I think Tyler Butler is the best quarterback on this team, but we've also said several times, many times, if Drew Pine has to play, you're going to be fine. You know, and I think this is good for Drew because to be honest with you, is Drew, from every source I've talked to, I mean, literally every single one, said Drew had a rough spring, right? And so I think for him, this is a good chance for him to really end on a strong note and kind of get some momentum back in the quarterback battle.
Yeah.
Because from what I understand, it hasn't been close. And it's been very clear that that Tyler Buckner's been the best quarterback that they have. It's just now it's like I said, Drew gets his shot, and that's a good thing, Vince. So it'll be interesting to see. And you know, some of the you're looking at the rosters, you know, obviously the blue team has had Ron Paul. Tyler Buckner's going to play both ways. They also announced that the offensive lineman will wear green. because some of them will have to play both ways because there's some injured guys. I mean, I think right now they've only got 9 healthy scholarship receivers because
obviously,
right. Patterson's out, Tanona's out, and Shrouth is out.
Shrouth is out, yeah.
And then the other 3 freshmen don't show up till the fall.
Right.
So, you know, you saw that. But so blue team is Ron Paulus, a quarterback. And again, Drew Pine is on both teams.
Right.
Logan Diggs and Audric Estimate running back, which I thought was really interesting. The 2 bigger guys on one team and the 2 – like, I was shocked. The one surprise for me was, obviously, Logan Diggs went 1. Didn't surprise me. But then Jadarian Price went 2.
Yeah.
And then
– I think that – like I said, I think that's partly because Tyree was listed as questionable.
No, I'm talking about overestimate. Jadarian overestimate.
I see.
Was the surprise for me.
I see.
And so that was the surprise for me. I understand why Tyree went last. So you saw Estimate and Diggs in the same backfield. Then you have Lorenzo Styles, Deion Colsey, and Matt Salerno are the scholarship receivers. Mitchell Evans at tight end. And then you've got Blake Fisher, Tosh Baker, Andrew Kristoffic, and Josh Luck. I heard some about Tosh Baker yesterday, which I thought was really interesting and encouraging. I'm trying to reach out to some more sources to see if I can get that confirmed about, you know, maybe how his spring ended on a strong note. So I'm hoping to talk to some more sources on that and have some intel here on the Irish Breakdown message board. So we'll have that. And then offensively, the gold team is obviously Angeli as a quarterback. And I'll be honest with you, I think this is going to be good for Steve Angeli too, because with Tyler Buchner out, you know, Drew Pine's going to get a ton of reps in the first half.
Yes.
And I would imagine Angeli and Paulus both get like a series maybe here and there, just so Drew's not literally going from series to series.
Right.
But, you know, getting a chance, you know, we'll see more of them in this game. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And seeing Steve get his chance to play. Running back is Jadarian Price and Chris Tyree. The receivers are Braden Lindsey and Jaden Thomas. Michael Mayer and Kevin Bauman at tight end. And then the offensive line there is Zeke Correll, who's the number 1 overall pick at all on the offensive line.
Which I think is smart because he's the only true center.
That's right. Well, him and Carmody are on the same team. I'm sitting there like, one of those guys is going to have to snap for the blue team. So I think Michael Carmody might be that guy. But you've got Zeke Correll, Joe Walt, Rocco Spindler, Michael Carmody, and Caleb Johnson on one team. So that'll be very interesting. And then defensively, I tell you what, the defensive line for the blue team is going to be pretty nasty, I think. You've got Riley Mills and Isaiah Foskey on the edge. You've got Ahrensberger, Josh Burnham, Jacob Lacey, and Jason Onye, plus Will Schweitzer. Linebackers, you've got Maris Luafau, Jordan Patelho, Junior 2 Alamakis. Like, all the West Coast, you know, linebackers are on one team. And then you've got Ramon Henderson, Justin Walters, Houston Griffith at safety, and then Clarence Lewis, Ryan Barnes, and Chance Tucker corner. The gold team defensive line is on the edge. You've got Nana Osafa-Mensah, Osita Ekwonu, Aiden Gobira, Justin Adamiola, and then Tyson Ford's kind of a swing guy. And then you've got Gabriel Rubio and Howard Cross. Linebacker Bo Bauer, Prince Kali, Nolan Ziegler, Rovers, Jack Kaiser, Jalen Snead. Safety, you've got Brandon Joseph, DJ Brown, Xavier Watts. And at corner, you've got Bracey, Philip Riley, and Jaden Mickey. So that is the makeup of the 2 teams. And then I love this. Our guy, Zach Martin,
Yes, I did. See what you did?
I don't know whether to laugh or ban you.
See what you did?
You know, some idiot on another site or something like that is like, because you know the site that's always listening to like every show we do. They're probably thinking, like, how can we use this to our advantage?
Absolutely. You know? That's going to be a headline. Irish Breakdown says.
I can't wait for it. So that's the blue-gold game roster, Vince. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about sort of expectations. We're going to talk more about the offense tomorrow because we didn't really do service to it yesterday. But we'll talk about what we're looking to see from both of these groups tomorrow even more. But I thought that was a fun deal. I really liked – you know, because these kids battle against each other all spring, and from what we've heard, Vince, and what you saw firsthand, it was a super competitive spring. And I think things like this are fun, you know, and they're rewards. And then you saw Al Washington and Dylan McCullough, the head coaches for the 2 teams, it looks like, right? Isn't that kind of what they said that they were going to do?
Yeah.
Yep. Which I really like. You know, this, Vince, I wanted to bring up something. So, hey, just so you guys know, start throwing in some questions.
Yeah.
And Vince and I'll start staring them answering them, because we're just going to talk about a couple things spring game. And then, because we're not going to do a typical post-hour mailbag today, so we're just going to kind of talk like for about a half an hour about this stuff and then dive right in the mailbag. So if you have recruiting questions, team questions, whatever, start throwing those in now so that we have them. But I got to say, you know, remember the last couple of years we've been asked about, you know, it was on the board especially, but even in the chat, you know, who from this staff do you think are head coaches?
And we'd often kind of sit there and be like, maybe Elston, right? Like, you know, Elston maybe at like the right school. And it was like, you know, Clark Lee when he was here. But like last year, it was like, who are the head coaches? And you're like, other than Freeman, it's like, I don't know. I got to say something about this kind of coaching staff. There are several guys in this coaching staff that I think are going to be head coaches. And if Notre Dame wins the way that I think they're going to win, Washington's going to be head football coach.
Yeah.
Al Washington's going to be head football coach in the next 5 years. If Notre Dame wins the way that I think they're going to win, Dylan McCullough is going to be head football coach somewhere. Like, I mean, he just kind of has that. I mean, we know he's a good coach. We know how he relates. He's a guy that's about discipline and all that, but in a way that it's relatable. I think he's going to be head coach. The tight ends coach, Jared Parker, just strikes me as a guy that's, you know, going to be head coach somewhere. You know, you look at a lot of these guys and you're just like, Al Golden has been a head coach. Like, there's a lot more guys that you're like, that guy can command a room than maybe we had. Now, Harry Hiestand has that ability, but he's just not Harry Hiestand's an O-line lifer. And yeah. I think he's totally fine with that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Some guys are like that. Some guys right. are just, look, this is what I do. I'm staying in my lane and this is what I'm good at. And they're not going to go there. You know what I mean? And so
that's not for everybody.
You're right.
It's not for everybody. And, you know, and I think that's kind of, you know, that's kind of something I like, you know, I mean, Brian Mason is a guy that I could see being a head coach someday.
Absolutely.
I mean, Chris O'Leary is young. Mike Mickens is still, you know, kind of young as a coach. Chancey Stuckey, we don't know, but even with those younger guys that don't maybe haven't coached a while, you see certain traits. You're like, you know, that I could see that guy being head coach someday. And then of course, Tommy Rees is another young guy that we could throw into that conversation too. I think Tommy at 29 is still probably, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to evaluate him as a head coach just yet, but I mean, he's 29 and he's been an offensive coordinator for a team that's won 10 plus games every year. And he's going into year three. He'll have that chance someday too. So, I mean, other than Hiestand, who I don't think wants the job, nor do I think he would be a head coach kind of guy. I don't know if there's a guy on the staff that I don't think someday has a chance to be head coach. And I don't think that's unintentional, Vince. I don't think that's by accident. I think that says a lot about the type of leadership and the type of person that Marcus Freeman looked for.
Yeah.
And I think it says also a lot about the fact that you don't surround yourself with guys like that if you're someone who wants a bunch of yes men around you.
Yeah. Right.
And I think agree. that's been a problem with previous head coach. And this isn't a shot at Brian Kelly. It was true of Brian Kelly, but I also think it was true of Charlie Weiss. I do. I think it was true of Charlie Weiss as well. I don't know about Bob Davie and Ty Willingham. I wasn't around enough for those eras. I've heard some people say that. I don't know. But I like the fact that he surrounded himself with people that can command, that have a presence and can command a room. And I think that's going to be good for Notre Dame. Because what happens is, and the reason I'm bringing this up is, number one, it benefits his current team. But if Marcus Freeman can start having guys leave for coordinator jobs and head coaching jobs and have success there, guess what? Notre Dame becomes a place big-time coaches want to come to if they want those opportunities. So I think it's good for the program too.
Absolutely.
Coaching turnover, if done the right way, is good for a program. It's healthy. And, you know, I mean, that's why Alabama's been able to have so much coaching turnover over the years.
Sure.
But it's like, I want to go work on that staff, because if I know if I go to Bama, I'm going to have a chance to be a head coach somewhere, or if I'm a position coach, to get a coordinator job. And I'd like to see Notre Dame kind of become that kind of program.
Well, so they can. And having being able to control a room, or not control a room, but like command a room, mm-hmm. like you mentioned, it's huge in recruiting too.
Right.
I mean, all of those things, I think, fall in line with what Marcus Freeman was looking for when he was putting together his coaching staff. I mean, in my opinion, smart head coaches surround themselves with guys that are going to make the program better, not be guys that are just going to do whatever I tell them to do. Right. Like, that's not what I want. I want guys that are going to come up with their own ideas, and I can take those ideas, use them, or just be like, hey, you know, maybe we're going to just go this other direction, but not be afraid to come to you with different things and be that sounding board for you. I think that's smart. I think when you're putting your staff together, you want smarter guys than you in the room, right? Mm-hmm. And then that does, I'm not saying Marcus Freeman's not smart. I think he's incredibly intelligent for putting his staff together in this manner. But you fill your weaknesses with strengths, and then you get those head coach type guys on your staff. I think that's
absolutely. Well, and even if you don't feel you have weaknesses, I think this is what I think the great ones do. You surround yourself with other talented people. Yes,
absolutely.
And knowing that I can't be in every room at all, every time, I can't, as the head coach, be involved in the lives of 85 to 100 some kids.
Right. Right.
The way that I could as a linebackers coach.
Right.
And so you hire people that have similar values. And so that's why I wanted to bring it up. I thought it was noticeable. And then somebody brought this up, Vince. I did not notice this, but it'd be sweet if it was true. You were there, so you would see this. USMA 87, did you catch Dylan wearing his Super Bowl ring?
You know, that's funny. I didn't. Now I'm going to have to watch the video, like, on mute here of his post-game press
conference. If he did, I think that'd be great.
I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. Like, yeah. Well done, sir. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's really smart.
Yeah,
because they were hyping up their guys, and that part was really fun to watch. Like the selection process was the real thing. Like they were in it. They were in it. You're smiling about something.
It's just a comment from JoJo that I'm going to pull up that I just think is hilarious. So let's pull up the super chat from JoJo. Thank you for that, JoJo. But JoJo said, "Good afternoon, guys. We need some escalators or improving the training table and adding a chef." For Tyler Buckner, I'm not worried. It's a spring game. Do you know anything NBC and NIL do? I don't have a whole lot of knowledge of the NBC and NIL thing, but I just think I'm just like waiting on Brian Kelly to talk about, like, you know, he left because Notre Dame doesn't have enough escalators on campus or something like that.
Well, so just for people that are interested in how things go at Notre Dame, when they ended the draft, right, and he gave his players basically an end of practice talk, and he's like, hey, you know, right after this, we got training table and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, oh, they actually do training table at Notre Dame. Huh? Yeah. Amazing.
But the food's not as good because it has to be shipped from across.
Right. Yeah, clearly.
Yeah. So it doesn't nourish their body the same way as something that's built on the facility. So, you know, I completely understand where people are coming from. I said sarcastically. Got a couple more super chats here.
Coach McCullough kept his hands under the desk the entire time as I'm watching this video.
Got to find some pictures. Yeah, Mark Chris Manish with a super chat. Thank you very much, Mark. I sprained my ankle going downstairs and I'm a student as well. Difference was my injury may have involved club fever stairs at club 3. Fever.
Club fever. That is old school right there, brother.
JoJo with another super chat. He says, I'm not worried about Dante yet, but I see that Braylon James already recruiting him on Twitter. And he says, I think he silently committed Notre Dame and he'll eventually come out. Whether he silented it or not doesn't matter. When a kid's a silent commitment and he's taking a lot of other visits, I don't really.
He's not committed. I mean,
it's not that. I mean, it's if a kid silently commits and he says, hey, but here's the plan and the school locates it, then it is what it is. Just to me, it doesn't carry a lot of value because if you're taking other visits, there's clearly some level of openness to other programs.
Right.
Right. That's my thing is kind of where I'm coming from. So it really doesn't matter. But I mean, look, and if you caught the show, Vince, Braylon almost said Dante's name during the show. He's like, I'm looking to get, and then he paused and is like, you know, a great class. Like it looked like he was getting ready to say something like, you know, get Dante or something like that, or, you know, the quarterback or something.
That's great.
But I thought that was pretty funny. I thought that was very well done. But I thought the whole Vince, you weren't on the show last night. Did you have a chance to go back and watch the video of Braylon's commitment?
Did I watched you see him actually commit? I watched that part where he pulls out the LSU hat. I did enjoy that.
What were your thoughts at first? Like, did you go through the same roller coaster I did that your heart sunk for a second?
It's like, wait, what? Like, when they pull the hat out from under the table, like, I was like, oh, usually that means that's who they're going with. Like, that was, and I was really firm that he was going to go to Notre Dame. And I was like, wait, what? And then, okay, all right. He didn't mess it. And you could hear somebody in the background. They're like, oh, like that. I thought that was really funny when he pulled out the LSU hat. So that was good. And you know what? It was also very mature of him to say, hey, look, LSU is still going to hold a special place in my heart. But
he trolled him, but did it with class. And that's peak Braylon James.
That's great. In my opinion. Troll with class. I like that. I like that a lot.
That's how it's got to be done, man. That's how it's got to be done. We had some questions here, Vince. Who are the kickers and punters?
Josh Bryan is the kicker for one team, and then Groupie was on the selection committee.
Team Blue is Brian Dowd, Alex Peitch, and Blake Groupie. Brian Dowd's a punter, right?
Yes.
because I don't think they have any punters on the team, because like the kid from Harvard doesn't show up till the fall, and Bryson McPherson doesn't show up till the fall, right? Like no scholarship punters.
They drafted punters.
Right. Chris Salerno, Josh Bryan, and Michael Vinson. So is Chris Salerno a punter?
Yes, I believe that is accurate.
So he must be the punter for the other team. None of the scholarship punters are going to be on campus right now, which is kind of interesting.
Here we go.
I thought, but that should help you.
So Salerno is solicited as a kicker. Brian's a kicker, and Groupie's a kicker. And then Brian Dowd is the only punter on the roster.
Now Brian Dowd also is doesn't he also play on the soccer team?
Is that the kid that
also plays on the soccer team?
I thought
he did. I thought he was a really good soccer player in high school, if I remember correctly.
Because there's nothing listed on his bio, because that's helpful.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about the football bio?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course not.
Yeah. I thought maybe if I clicked on the bio.
Yeah, he also plays on the soccer team.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a goalkeeper for the soccer
team. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was 2021 All-ACC ACC All-Tournament team last fall. So he's the primary goalkeeper for Notre Dame.
Went to Fenwick High School in Chicago. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, he's a pretty good football player.
So my family
goes to Fenwick. If I remember correctly. He was a pretty good football player. So, yeah, he's also on the soccer team. So, D-Rock, good question there.
Yes,
Jim absolutely. Halloran says, why let Isaiah Foskey or Michael Mayer participate? Seems like nothing to gain, everything to lose. What say you, Brian? I'm okay with them playing.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't play him a ton. I don't think Foskey's going to play like the whole game or whole half, but I mean, I think he wants to play. I don't think the risk of injury is such that I would definitely sit them if they want to play. I personally wouldn't play him much. But the problem is you don't have a lot of dudes on either side of the ball. I mean, that's the problem with any spring game. I mean, no one has 85 scholarship players on the roster in the spring. You know, I think that day is probably going to come sometime in the next decade where, like, every kid's an early enrollee just about, but we're not there yet. I mean, Notre Dame's come a long way. Like, half their class this year was, or not one that long ago, was like 3 to 5 guys a year. But your guys are injured, guys are out, and all that. So, I mean, I'd let them play have them let them play a ton.
Yeah, and
not cut blocking. There's some things that you're not doing in this game that reduce that.
Because in a real game, you need like 8 defensive linemen minimum.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's probably not going to be the case here, because that means that's 16 defensive linemen, and they don't have 16 defensive linemen. You know what I mean? Right. So it's going to be a little bit different, obviously, from a normal game and a normal rotation and all of that. Same thing at linebacker, for example. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have backups per se.
I'll be honest with you. What I would consider doing with Mayer is I would consider putting a red jersey on him and just being like, look, you can cover him. You can be physical with him in the run game. But when he catches the ball, he's down on contact.
Just tap him out.
Right. But other than that.
Because the only way to take down Michael Mayer is to go low and you don't want him blowing out a knee. I mean,
exactly. Exactly. So that's kind of my stance on that. So,
right. And these guys play really hard, but they're not going to play. I mean, some of them will, because they're trying to impress and things like that. But, you know, they're going to be careful with themselves, too.
Right.
I'll just say that.
Right. So I'm looking at some of these. I'm seeing some of the responses that you had up that you saw earlier, apparently, Vince, about the quarterback situation.
It's just gotcha. Like,
goodness gracious. Y'all.
Exactly.
It's just
shaking my head. Just shaking my head about the whole thing.
Lord have mercy.
Why can't we just... you know, believe what is told to us. I realize.
Well, I mean, Vince, you know me well enough. No, I'm not a fan of that action.
Well,
but it's just sometimes you got to use
this
common
particular
sense.
Situation. I trust Marcus Freeman. I do. And it didn't look like he was trying to spin anything. Like, he's like, look, here's what happened. You know, a freak thing. And he gave like a timeline. He's like, it was a half hour after our quarterback meeting. Like, you know, that's a lot of detail for, I mean, I realize the devil's in the details, but like, you know,
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's pretty funny. Just reading through some of this stuff.
Yeah. I bet.
It's like, this is why sometimes we can't have nice things. You know what I mean? Like,
my favorite thing is that he's fragile. That's my favorite comment of all. Cause I don't even know where that even comes from.
All right.
Because 3 years ago he tore his ACL.
Right.
Got it.
It is what it is.
All right, let's see if you got any more questions here, Vince. It doesn't look like I don't see a ton of questions. You want to go ahead and read that one as
sure.
I continue to search
absolutely.
More? Absolutely.
Camden Hirschberger says, everyone seems so obsessed with the James commitment and Pendleton's decision on Monday. Are there any recruits who should be watched carefully this weekend? We kind of talked about that, I want to say on Friday, that the recruits aren't making emotional decisions anymore. Like that just doesn't appear to be a thing. And committing on Blue Gold weekend is an emotional decision
and
for the most
part. Well, unless you come in with that plan.
Right.
And I know there's that's possible. But again, it's not the premise of the question was, do you think anyone could come in and the Blue Gold game is such that it would cause them to commit? And that I don't think. I think any kid that's coming in this weekend with the plan to commit is going to commit, but otherwise that's not the case. And look, do I expect some action this weekend? Yeah, I do. I'm not going to tell you who it is because that's just not how we roll. But yeah, I would pay attention to some recruiting news this weekend. I would. So yeah, stay tuned. That's why you got to be part of Irish Breakdown. But
look at you.
But even on the site, even on the board. But again, it's just so you know, I don't want to turn this into like sign up on the board and you'll find out who it is. I'm not saying it on the board either. That's just not how we roll at Irish Breakdown.
Exactly.
So just let it play out. But what I will say, Camden, in respect to your question is I do think there will be some action this weekend, and I would encourage you to stay glued to the different channels and things like that to kind of see what comes, because we do expect some action. We do expect some action. And then as far as Pendleton, you know, we'll have a show around the time he's going to commit as well, and just kind of break down what it means for Notre Dame one way or the other. But that's about all I could say right there. So
I start a couple. Brian, just FYI. John says, are Connor Radigan and Matt Salerno on different teams? Who has the best potential to help the team? I don't remember Matt being selected, so he must have been.
He was one of
committee.
The captains.
He was a committee member. Right. So I'm not sure which team he was on, to be honest with you. I didn't see the final list.
I said blue. He's with Styles and Colsey.
Okay, and then Connor's on the other team then? He's on the gold team? Okay, so they are on separate teams. I mean, look, Matt is a better wide receiver at the moment. That's why he got put on scholarship. They can both help the team. I think Connor's a decent receiver. You know what I mean? He's just not necessarily a Notre Dame level receiver, but he's a good receiver. I mean, he's made plays in practices that we have seen, right? I'm talking about Radigan. Yeah. He can play. Like he can play. Yeah. I mean, his dad played at Notre Dame. He's got the genes, you know, he can play. And the Blue Gold game is a great opportunity for somebody like Connor to make plays. So I would actually anticipate both Matt and Connor making plays in the Blue Gold game. Number one, because of depth at the wide receiver position, they're going to get a ton of snaps. So they're going to make plays, right? And even if the depth chart was a little bit deeper, they're still going to get opportunities because it's the Blue Gold game. So they're both going to make plays.
Yeah. I actually think as a pure receiver, I actually kind of like Connor Radigan a little bit more.
There you go.
So that's just me. I think Matt Salerno brings you some return game stuff. He's seems a little bigger to me.
I think he's thicker.
Seems bigger. Yeah.
He appears to be thicker.
But as just a pure receiver, I kind of like what Connor can do.
Yeah.
I think he's good.
It works hard too. Yeah. It's funny.
He's a good athlete.
Yeah.
He could have gone to like Valpo and been a dude.
Absolutely. No question about
it. I would have recruited him at Duquesne as a 1AA team and been like, yeah, that's one of my top recruits. I mean, the kid can play. Just,
absolutely.
There's a big difference between playing at Duquesne and playing at Notre Dame.
And he wants to play. Like we have Dr. Radigan on our show at pregame a lot over at WSBT. And every once in a while I ask about Connor, you know, that kind of a thing, because he's a walk-on, doesn't get to go to all the games and stuff. And he's like, Connor's pissed. He wants to play. Like that. I love that. You know what I mean? Right. Like you're a walk-on. And you're pissed that you're not playing. That's awesome. I love that attitude. So he's working his butt off to play. Good for him. I hope he shows out.
Yeah. Last couple of questions, and we don't seem to have any more questions. So if we don't get any more questions, we're going to wrap up here pretty soon. So, and as far as there was one question about Al Golden's scheme, Nolan, we had a show about that recently. It's titled Changes Are Coming to Notre Dame Defense. I would encourage you to watch that, because we couldn't do justice to that answer now to what you know what it shows. So I just encourage you to watch that, but it's the philosophy is going to be similar, but
think we'll just structurally there'll be some differences, and a lot of it has to do with personnel as much as it has to do with Al Golden, you know. But I think we'll see some aggressiveness. We'll see some different coverage structures and some different blitz structures. But beyond that, I would encourage you to go watch that show when you have a minute and check that out, because we go into a lot more detail in regards to what we're doing. But let's go ahead and get to this question here, Vince.
DC Irish 1213 says, do you guys think that Pine starting the spring game helps his case against Buckner if he plays very well? It's a data point. It's a data point. Will it help him? Yeah, I mean, any good practice will help you, but it's not going to be, oh my gosh, he played so well in the spring game, he's clearly the starter. Like, that's not how it works. This is another data point,
right,
through the process.
It can definitely help him.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, the question is, does it help him? I think it can.
Yes.
If he plays well. Because here's the thing, like, we can talk about, you know, Drew's had this, or Tyler's had this. Tyler's not injury prone, but he has had injuries. Drew hasn't, right? So if Drew can go out there and battle, being a guy that, like, look, this guy's a better player, but I know we can count on this guy. You know, like, if Tyler has another injury that keeps him out of fall camp, then maybe at that point in time you have that conversation, but that's not the issue now. However, what this injury has done, even though I don't think it's a big deal, what it has done, it's a big deal for Drew Pine, because Drew gets a chance to go out there and show command and battle and compete and lead and make plays. And as you said, Vince, like, if the gap is here, Drew has a chance to make it here.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's not going to, like, Tyler's the clear starter, Drew has plays on the spring
game, and then all of a sudden it's like,
he vaults and he's the number one guy.
Right.
But it certainly doesn't hurt if he goes out and plays well. It's not like if Drew goes out there and plays great, Tommy's gonna be like, I don't care, it's a spring game. No, it'll help.
Yeah.
But it's not like he went out there and beat Ohio State,
right?
Like, it's a spring game, right? It's a data point, but it's just one of 15 over the course of the spring.
Exactly.
And that's the thing to remember from it. But yeah, I do think DC, I do think it could help him. And I think it could help him more than it can hurt him. Because the flip side is, well, what if he doesn't play well? I think if he doesn't play well, they're going to kind of look and give him a pass because of what they're asking him to do.
Because it's not easy.
Playing on two different teams,
not easy.
All that kind of stuff. So I think I'd be more willing to give Drew a pass if he doesn't play well, but maybe give him a, and I'll say this too. I this is just a guess. Right. And I'm just telling you kind of how I would react to it. But if Drew goes out there and plays on both teams and plays well, not only does it close the gap, but I'm throwing a couple bonus points his way. You know what I mean? For competing and battling and stepping up and answering the bell. So I do think in that regard, Vince, it could certainly help.
This is going along the lines of that same question. Kirk Roberts says, and what happens if the freshman plays better than Pine? That would be Angeli.
I care about that. I care about that as much as I cared about Montgomery Van Gorder playing better than DeShone Kizer. And what I mean by that, Kirk, is it's the spring game. Now, if Steve Angeli has been outplaying Drew Pine like all spring and then outplays him in the blue gold game,
different.
It matters.
That's different. Yeah.
Right. But if Drew Pine's clearly the number two and then Steve Angeli just has a better spring game, I don't care.
Yeah.
But the point is, I'm not saying this to dismiss your question. But with any of these kids, somebody outplaying somebody else in the spring game means nothing to me in that context of just that game. If it's something that is sort of like, hey, man, this has been, just so you know, this has been happening a lot this spring.
Right.
Like, so-and-so has been playing really well. That's going to matter more to me than what happened in a spring game.
Right.
Right. Because I would argue, Vince, you and I have been at some of these spring scrimmages that happened before the spring game. They tend to be more intense than the spring game.
Absolutely. Yes.
Because they're more live. There's
and it's usually 1v1s, and it's a little bit more, you know, because in the spring game, you might be playing next to somebody that you don't normally play next to, you know what I mean? And that could be different than, you know, the situation where, you know, when you're normally starting next to, you know, Patterson, for example, et cetera, or whatever the case may be, you might be playing next to somebody you're not used to. That can affect the way that you play. I mean, that's just a fact. So, and it's the spring game again. Is it fun? Right. Is it exciting? Is it going to be a beautiful day? All of that is a yes.
I'm looking forward to it. We're going to be
there. Absolutely. But it's not the be all end all. I think that's what people need to understand.
It's just one data point out of 15.
That's exactly
right. It really is.
Yes.
It really is.
No question.
We have some more questions that we did have a couple come in here. Ryan asked about, he was talking about Pendleton. Is he committing on CBS? No, he is actually he's going to live stream his commitment on his own Instagram page. It's Samuel, S-A-M-U-E-L underscore Pendleton is what he has as Instagram. So follow him on Instagram, but we'll carry that. If it is on Instagram, we'll carry that on our show. So if you want to just come here for that, and it's going to be at 6:30 on Monday, he's going to announce between Notre Dame, Michigan, Florida, and NC State are his four finalists. And we're a little surprised that Clemson wasn't on there, because we had been told that Clemson was going to be a team that he liked a lot as well. So that was something that that I thought was very, 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 very interesting.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Vince, Zacho asked this, any top matchups that you're looking for based on how the team shook out?
Man, I'd have to have it sitting in front of me.
I have one.
Yeah, I don't really have a team sitting in front of me.
I'm really looking forward to see Joe Alt go against Isaiah Foskey and Josh Burnham and Riley Mills. Because I want to see Joe Alt. Like, we've heard some things about Joe Alt from this spring that kind of have you excited about you know, about what this tackle tandem could be.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that he's going against the dudes. You know, he's going against some guys. And I'm looking forward to seeing that. Very, very, very much so. So I think that's one. But there aren't a whole lot of others, to be honest with you, that I as far as matchups that I care a lot about outside of that one. Right. And fair so somebody enough. Was like Jaden Mickey versus the other receivers. That part's cool, because the thing I like about Jaden against the other receivers is he is on the team opposite Lorenzo Styles.
That's true.
Deon Colsey and so he'll get a chance to kind of battle with some guys. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. I guess that's another one that I would look for. But for me, it's not so much the matchup, Zacho. It's just like I want to see how Ryan Barnes looks. So I want to see how Chance Tucker and Phillip Riley look. You know, the young guys we haven't seen a whole lot. I want to see how Justin Walters looks. I want to see the freshman linebackers. I want to see the guys we don't get to see a lot, right? Like, I don't need to see Isaiah. If Isaiah Foskey has 5 sacks in the game on Saturday, what does that tell us?
It tells us he's still really good.
Yeah, you know, right. What I mean, like, and if he doesn't do anything in the blue gold game, it's like, oh gosh, Foskey's, because he was not good last spring. He just didn't do a whole lot last spring. I did talk to somebody the other day who said that the tackles have had a really good spring. Oh, except when they go against Isaiah Foskey. He's been unblockable. So I had somebody tell me that. I've heard that from about 4 or 5 people, that Isaiah Foskey doesn't practice much, but when he does, like, he's a monster. Yeah. Practice much meaning he's not in a lot of the scrimmage situations. He's going through all the practice stuff, but like, they've just limited him a little bit in some of the contact stuff. But when he does play, it's like, yeah, you notice it, because all of a sudden they're making a ton more plays. So that'll be nice. Nolan Sanchez, what is the depth chart at running back? Right now, the depth chart is just everybody on scholarship. And it's Chris Tyree in no order. Chris Tyree, Logan Diz, Audric Estime, Jadarian Price, and then in the fall, it'll also be Jabron Payne. And I'm not saying that flippantly, Nolan. It's just that depth chart is still
– it's very fluid.
And Chris Tyree's missed a big chunk of the spring. You know, Jadarian Price had a great spring. Estimate Diggs have had their moments this spring. Jabron Payne shows up. So it is still TBD, very much TBD. And at this point in time, I think every kid that's on the roster now is going to get a chance to play in this in the fall.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm looking forward to seeing it. So Charlie Weiss's last belt loop. Brian, why didn't Notre Dame stand a chance with Deuce Robinson? Seems like a perfect match. Has nothing to do with them not standing a chance. They stopped recruiting him. When they landed Cooper Flanagan, they stopped recruiting Deuce Robinson, which I still say to this day is stupid. And the new tight ends coach and Tommy Reese have tried to get back in with him, but it's too late. You can't stop recruiting a five-star
and then, yeah, and then try to jump back in.
You're going to have a hard time winning that battle. It's not often you can do that. And so that's why. Because early on, Deuce had legit interest in Notre Dame.
Yeah, yeah.
But, the reality is he was a five-star kid that you were going to have to battle big-time programs for, and that's just not something the previous staff did. It's like,
we'll go
get Cooper Flanagan, who's a really good player. We know we can get him. And look, Cooper Flanagan's a really good player. But, if you're going to take two, and I still think a case can be made that two would have been good, especially if you get a guy like Deuce Robinson. Because the thing I'll say, Vince, is those two guys are such great compliments.
Right.
Like Deuce is more of a flex tight end, like, outside guy. Cooper's more of a traditional tight end, more of a guy that's going to play attached. He's 6'5". He's going to be 250 plus. And they'd have been a great 1-2 punch. So it's not like get Deuce because he's better than Cooper. It's like, man, that's a heck of a 1-2 punch for a team that hasn't been able to recruit receivers. So it made no sense. But that's what they did. So it wasn't that they didn't stand a chance. They don't stand a chance now,
right,
because they dropped the ball. But it had nothing to do with before. Vince, can you go ahead and read that one here real quick?
I certainly can. Jules602 says, if we miss on Dante, Raiola or Carr next year? I think regardless of whether they get Dante or not, they're still going to be recruiting those guys for the following year, right? I mean,
right.
I don't think one impacts the other per se, unless there's a five-star in the 24 class that doesn't want to compete. And that's usually not the case, but...
Well, I don't think it's so much about – I think that there are some kids who don't want to compete. Some kids are just looking and say, look, I don't mind competing, but that's just stupid. Like, why,
right, right.
Why would I go there and he's got a year head start on me,
right,
when I go to this other similarly really, really good program that I also like a lot, and, there the guy's 2 years ahead of me.
Right.
Sometimes it's – yeah, okay, I'm not afraid of competition, but I'm also not an idiot, and I understand that, like, there's other options, but Raiola's not going to come to Notre Dame. That one's not going to happen, and he's Ohio State, USC. I don't see that one happening. I think CJ Carr and Julian Sain are the top two options right now. Mm-hmm. I know Notre Dame would like to get Jane Davis on campus, and next year's quarterback class is going to be really strong as well. I don't know if it's going to be quite as strong as this one, but it's pretty good. CJ Carr is a really good football player. But if, I don't think missing on Dante has anything to do with who they go after. I mean, they're going to go after the best quarterback they get next year's class, even if they get Dante. Losing Dante Moore doesn't change their 2024 recruiting strategy at all, quarterback. It only changes their 2023 recruiting strategy.
Right, exactly.
Because they got to find a quarterback. But if they get Dante Moore, they're still going to recruit the best quarterbacks in the country next year and try to get them.
Right.
Now, it may hurt their chances with some of those guys, but it's not going to change their strategy.
Right.
So
good way to put it.
Yeah. A couple more. We have some good questions coming up. Here's a good one. I like this one. Patrick Bird says, which format do you prefer, the draft or ones versus ones?
That's easy for me, but go ahead.
No, go ahead, Vince.
Yeah, it's draft. I think I love the draft. I thought it was cool. I think it adds an element to it. When you do 1v1s, you've got the weird scoring system, which I hate, because you got to have a way for the defense to score.
Which, right? I actually kind of like that.
I hate it. I don't like it. I like an actual football game.
It's still an actual football game. Yeah, it's just you're doing different scoring.
I don't like
it. Because this isn't an actual football game, because you have one quarterback playing on both teams.
Well,
you have offensive linemen playing on both teams. That wasn't the idea, as having points for stopping a third down.
That wasn't the idea going into the draft, though.
Well, the offensive line thing was.
They didn't have a choice there.
Right.
Well, same thing with the quarterback thing. Right. But no, I am 100% for the draft.
Right.
1v1s are fun. Don't get me wrong. But that's the same thing they've been doing all spring long. This spices it up a little bit for the kids and for me.
Right. So for me, my preference, for me personally, is ones versus ones. I'm always that guy. But if I was in the coach's shoes... And as a player, I like the draft. Because I kind of look at the spring game as a coach, as sort of, hey, look, we've been pushing you, we've been riding you, we've had plenty of scrimmages where we've had competition every day. Let's end this having a little bit of fun. You know, let's let you take some ownership and do the draft. So looking at it from if I was Marcus Freeman, this is the way I would go. I would want to go. And I never thought about this before, Vince. This is a really cool idea, and I'm sure there's other teams that have done it. I think it's a really cool idea. Me personally, I do ones-on-ones. That's just how my you know, as an outsider, I want to see the good on good because we haven't been able to see it all spring.
Yeah, right.
But inside the program, if I was on the opposite side and I was inside the program, I'd be all about this because this is a award for, hey, y'all have worked your butts off this spring. We've battled, we've competed. Let's do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Coach McCullough said, he's like, I've never been a part of anything like this kind of a spring game before. I believe it was him. And he's like, it was more businesslike. He goes like, this is fun. This is competition. This is like, the guys are in on this. And like, you can tell that the coaches and the selection committee, you know, the seniors, they met about this. They had meetings about their draft strategy and how they wanted to go about it and all of these different things. I think it's awesome. I think it's a lot of fun. I'm all for the draft.
Yeah. I don't think there's a wrong answer.
Yeah,
I agree with that. Again, I think if it's going to be player-centric, and this is going to be kind of a fun reward thing, then I like the ideas of. However, the points of, because it's because like it, if it's about having fun, I still think that's because now the defense can kind of do things they never get. Like a sack now means more. You know, we just got 2 points, or you know, an interception means more. Stop on fourth down now means more. Like I think those are fun. The problem is you gotta schedule it. You gotta figure it out in a way that allows the defense to be competitive scoring wise, right? Like, I mean, that's the thing, is like if you're getting a point for every tackle for loss, like, okay, well,
yeah,
you can have a great game and have 10 tackles for loss. That's not 2 touchdowns. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to have some sort of system that allows it to be competitive. But you know, I think the key at the end of the day, though, the thing that we both agree on is I think the blue gold game is the more important thing, is not what makes what Brian Driscoll prefers.
Right.
It's what's best for the kids.
Right.
And I think this is kind of that fun. Dang it. When the whistle blows, they're competing.
Absolutely.
Right? This isn't going to be like touch football. They're going to be competing and battling, but there's ways to have fun leading up to that moment. And then even during the game to have some fun that you can make it competitive. So I'm good either way. I really don't. Here's one I like, Vince. Pick an MVP.
Oh my gosh.
Jadarian Price for me. Who are you going with, Vince?
It's always somebody that you don't expect. It's going to be some random person. You know what? I'm going to go with Connor Radigan to catch the game-winning touchdown.
Okay.
Something completely random, because that's Junior Jabby, right? Somebody talked about him winning the MVP once. I can't remember. There's been some crazy MVPs.
Montana. It's one I always bring up.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Audric Estime. I think Audric's gonna be super ticked off that he was like the third back taken. Look, I think that's gonna like tick him off, and he's gonna just be like, okay.
Tommy Rees was fired up when they got Jadarian Price.
Logan first, right? Like that side of that, they picked Logan
correct.
First.
And when they got Jadarian Price, that's the only person that Tommy Rees got out of his chair to high five or to dap up, whatever you want to call it. And he had a permanent smile on his face when Estime was heading back to his seat. Like, he's the only one he got out of his chair for. So, like, he is fired up to have Diggs and Estime in his backfield. I can say that right now.
Yeah, I would be too.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, but honestly, there's not a two-man combination I wouldn't be excited about.
Right.
I mean, the other team's probably fired up because they're like, we got the two fastest dudes on offense are going to be in our backfield, right?
Absolutely.
I just have a feeling that Audric is going to be a little bit ticked off about being picked third.
I think it's great.
And that's my prediction. That's my prediction. So we'll see if it pans out. 99 problems, but BK ain't one. Is the Irish breakdown confidence of Dante Moore waning, or just normal Notre Dame fan anxiety? It's definitely fan anxiety. you know, like, look, would I like, would I have preferred for him to be committed already? Of course. You know, if he doesn't commit and we're getting towards the end of June, will I be maybe a little bit more concerned then? Sure. But no one still has been able to tell me who the number 2 team is.
Right.
And when I talk to sources after he visits Miami and after he – and they're all like, yeah, every school that he visits, they all come out of it saying, we're chasing Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You know, look, here's the thing too is we wanted him to commit in April. Right. Notre Dame wanted him to commit in April. Right. But Dante has been adamant with Notre Dame from the beginning. I want to take visits. And right. they understand that. Now, they hope that they could talk him into going public sooner and then still taking visits, but he right. doesn't want to do that. Dante's like, if I'm going to commit, then I'm, you know, publicly commit, then I'm going to be committed. You know, I respect that. I mean, and that's the thing is, like, people were asking last night, like, will Braylon James committing, like, cause Dante to go sooner? Look, y'all don't understand. Dante has a plan. He's been sticking to that plan the whole time. We may not like it, but I respect him for it, right? Because it'd be very easy in this day and age to commit to Notre Dame and kind of hold the spot and still go take the visits and still yeah. go do all that. But Dante's like, if I'm gonna be committed to somebody, it's because I'm committed to somebody.
Right.
And I'm not gonna be going to take another visit. You know what? In this day and age of it's like y'all can't have it both ways, right? Like if Dante was committed and still visiting, then people would be all freaking mad. Out about oh, yeah. how he's visiting.
It's like Keon Keeley, right?
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right. Now Keon's been, I mean, and we hear the same thing. Bama, we talked to Bama source, talked to you know, Florida, and they all still say, like, the real sources are like, you know, we still feel like we're chasing Notre Dame, right? So you know, you say, well, I'd rather commit not take visits. Well, that this isn't your life.
Of course,
this isn't your life. This is his.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, to me, I have no problem with what Dante's doing. It doesn't mean that I'm in love with it. Cause again, as a Notre Dame person, I'd rather him just kind of commit and not take visits. That's what I'd want. But this, I'm not Dante's dad. I'm not Dante. I'm not his coach. He's got to do what he's best to do. But here's the reason why it's important. If Notre Dame still lands him, he's done. You don't have to worry about it because he's already taken those visits. He's already taken his officials. You don't have to worry about some school convincing him to take an official visit in August or September, October, November. He's already taken them. It's done.
Right.
So let the process play out. The kid is out there trying to do what he thinks is best for him. And he has been upfront and honest with Notre Dame about his plans from day one. And that's all I can ask for.
He's a man of his word and he's sticking to his guns.
Doesn't mean I love it, but
right.
But to answer the question, I have not lost any confidence in where Notre Dame stands with Dante Moore.
Right.
As of right now. No, could that change in a month? Sure, of course. Right. But I'm not so like locked in. Like I'm not like one of those political people that's like, this is my view and I don't care how much evidence I have of the contrary. I'm going to hold my view because I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat. You know what I mean? Like evidence should always lead us to what we believe. Right. Right. So if things change with Dante, I'll have a different opinion. But
right.
all the evidence I have at this point in time is that I have no reason to think anything other than he loves Notre Dame. But he also wants to see other places and see what the world has to offer and experience certain things that he gets one chance to do. And does that mean that another school could end up winning him over? Sure. That's part of life, right? I mean, you know, Notre Dame's got to have enough confidence in what they're doing that he's going to be on board and then keep adding guys,
right?
So it makes your case stronger. Add Braylon James, get some other linemen, get some backs, get some other receivers and say, look, man, like –
we're ready for this. Let's go. You know you're the missing link. Let's go, man. Yeah,
right. Yeah. It's like that scene from Draft Day. Like, you know, hey, you're the, you know, this team's ready to roll. You're the guy, you know, like you're the guy, you know, we need you, you know? So that's kind of where I'm at on it. I promise you guys, if I start to feel concerned about it, I'll tell you. And I did that on the message board with Cardinal Tate. I was 2 weeks ago. I was really confident where Notre Dame still Cardinal Tate. I got new evidence, and now I'm like, he's not coming to Notre Dame, right? So my stance on Cardinal isn't because I'm a Notre Dame guy and I'm giving you the Notre Dame spin. I'm just being honest with what I get, gather intel from talking to Notre Dame people, talking to Michigan people, talking to Florida people, talking to national people, talking to everybody. And they all say, no matter Ohio State people, I mean, I went to there and heard the same thing. Ohio State people are like, yeah, we love Dante, but they started looking at other quarterbacks after he left the visit. Why? Because they're like, yeah, we got no chance
right
now. Right. So with Cardinal, it's different. With Cardinal, you hear one thing when talking to Notre Dame people, and then you hear something completely different when you talk to Tennessee people.
Never a good sign.
And that's not a good sign. With Dante and Keon, it's the exact opposite. I mean, and they've been honest. I want to take visits. I'm going to do this. And that's all you can ask for, guys. And Notre Dame understands that. And That's big boy football, folks. I mean, that's the reality. Bama gets commits and they visit other places all the time. All the time. Some of them they lose, most of them they still get. If you want to recruit big boys with the big boys, you got to understand this is part of the process.
Yep.
And embrace it and get used to it. It's nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. I get it. I completely understand, right?
Yep.
And my livelihood depends on these decisions, right? So I get the frustration.
You're not wrong.
But just know that you won't have to ask me if my confidence wanes. I will have already told you. We'll have a show on it, or most likely we'll put it on the message board. Hey, here's what I'm hearing. Here's why I'm not as confident as I was, and whatever the case may be, which we've done. We did it with Carnell. We've done it with other recruits that we thought, hey, Notre Dame's in a great place. Christian Gray, a few months ago, we thought Notre Dame was the leader. They were going to get him. Evidence changed, and we start saying, hey, we're not as sold that Notre Dame's going to be in on this one, right? Micah Tease didn't like where Notre Dame stood because of Oklahoma. Now we're giving you a different story because the evidence is now that this is the reality. So, I mean, I don't know what else to say besides that, Vince. It's like, I promise y'all, I'll tell you. If there's something to worry about, I'll tell you. I promise, and we'll get a good word on it. Last one, we have a super chat from R. Mark Baskerville. Vince, let's do this one, and then we got to get out of here.
All right, thanks,
Mark. Class,
yeah, thanks, Mark. Really appreciate it. Was it just me, or did Mayer look huge walking up to the podium? What wide receiver, running back, tight end will have the best day Saturday?
It's not just you, Mark. That is a massive human being.
I mean, from like the toes up, like, right. I mean, just everything about him is massive. I mean, I honestly don't even know how else to say it. Like standing next to him at the bowl game and then seeing him today, he's just massive. I mean, right. He was massive then, he's massive now. And he's
the tight end version of Quentin Nelson.
Yeah. He's just a massive human.
He's just big.
Yeah.
He's just a big boy. I went with Audric Estime as my MVP.
True.
I don't know if that means he's going to have the best day. I don't think Mayer will have the best day because I don't think he's going to play a bunch.
Yeah, and I think that's smart. I think Jadarian Price is going to turn a lot of heads. Yeah. I think he's going to have a good day because they're going to feed him. He's a freshman.
I think so.
Feed him and let's have some fun. Like I think
Audric and Jadarian, because you know, Logan's been a little banged up this spring, or in winter, so I could maybe see him on a pitch count.
Sure.
And you know, with Logan and Tyree, I know this sounds weird because Logan Diggs didn't even rush for 300 yards last year, but I know what Logan Diggs can do. I don't need to see him get 20 carries in a spring game.
Yeah.
I just want him to come out of it healthy. I feel like I need to see what Jadarian can do.
I think Estime and Jadarian are going to be the bell cows for their team, each team. Yeah.
I don't know who will. I know who I hope. I hope that Deion Colsey makes some plays.
Yeah.
He's a kid that I think needs to go into the summer with some confidence. I feel that about Audric. I feel that about Jadarian. I think Audric especially because Audric's in that weird situation because he's considered behind Tyree and, you know, perception-wise, behind Tyree and Diggs. Everybody wants to talk about how good Jadarian Price has been, rightfully so, because he has been. If Audric doesn't play well in the game, you know, maybe he goes home and starts having some people in his ear. You should transfer this place, that place, the other place, because you'd play more. I think if he ends the spring on a good note and plays well and gets his yards and his touches, then he'd be like, hey, bump out of that noise. I'm on a mission at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And so I hope he ends on a strong note. I hope Deion ends on a strong note. So guys like that, I hope that Jadarian Price plays well because you want to see those. It goes back to my theme of guys that we haven't seen. I don't need to see Lorenzo Styles catch a single pass on Saturday. It's not going to change my opinion of him one bit, right? I don't care if he catches 8 passes for 120 yards because you know what? We already saw him do that against one of the best defenses in the country in a bowl game. I'm not worried about Lorenzo Styles.
Right.
You know, Deion Colsey, Jayden Thomas, I want to see what those guys can do because we just haven't seen them a whole lot. So that's my whole stance. But I'm hoping that you know, we're talking about Colsey and Jadarian and Audric Estime after the game. That's what I'm hoping that we see. So, Vince, that's going to do it, man. Why don't you go ahead and take us out of here?
Well, there's the bell. So I guess that means our time is up. So thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate it. And make sure you hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Make sure you share with your family and friends, whether you're listening on the YouTube channel or on our podcast. We would really appreciate that. So like, subscribe, hit the bell. And hey, join us on the message board if you're not already there, because there's all kinds of fun information over there. And I enjoy reading the message board. I can tell you that. So
Vince is what we call a lurker.
I am a lurker. I am a lurker. I'm always afraid I don't have anything good to share, so I just like to read what everybody else says. All right, that's okay, but we're going to get out of here because it's passing period for me. So everyone have a wonderful day, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Irish Breakdown Podcast.